Well, we sometimes from up front tell you to be careful to the words that you hear. Think carefully about what you're hearing and compare it with what God says and judge the speaker based on the word of God. And be careful of preachers who would make much of themselves. You know, sometimes you see sermons, if you're watching the telly and so on, you might see a sermon where someone will tell you all about themselves and it doesn't seem to be anything of God. And we encourage you to look to God and not to man. And so it's maybe slightly embarrassing I've titled this Be Like Me this morning. But that should become obvious, the reason for that, as we go on, because it's an interesting passage that Paul teaches, this part of his letter that he writes. I can't dance. People say that you should just relax and let your body follow the beat, but mine doesn't do that. If I relax, it just stops moving. To do anything approaching anything like dance, I have to concentrate to make my limbs move in particular ways, and concentrating in four limbs at the one time I find very hard. However, I can copy. We used to have a video game a few years ago called Just Dance, and in it they played a song and someone, usually it's a kind of outline of a person, danced on the screen and you were supposed to copy them. It should really have been called Just Copy, because the idea of that game wasn't that you should let yourself go and move to the beat and do what you want. It was you should do exactly what they do. And if you copied their moves, then it would look like you knew how to dance. And I could do that to a fair extent. I could copy what those people were doing. I think if I practiced enough, I could memorize the moves and it would be good enough that people would say, oh, David can dance. As long as it was that one particular song. When we come to the kids' church and we play songs for them and they sing along to them and we encourage them to do actions, I say to them, copy me while I do the actions, because I've learned what the actions are, and I ask them to copy me, confident that I've done enough that I can at least somewhat do the right actions. In our reading today, Paul wants to encourage the Christians in Philippi to walk with Jesus. He wants them to press on, to do well, to be good, to be Christians among the people. But what does that mean? What does it look like? How do I go about following Jesus and being like Jesus? It's not in our nature to do things to please God rather than ourselves, and so it's difficult for us to understand and imagine and to see what that looks like. And so Paul's solution is, be like me. See what I'm doing, and you do it too. Let's see what he means by that as we look into our passage. Now, the first 2 weeks of the year, we've got a free choice for the speaker before we dive back into Romans next week. And Will spoke in the first half of Philippians chapter 3 last week. So I thought it would be good to continue and to finish that chapter. If you remember the first half, if you're here last week, Paul's emphasizing that salvation comes from faith and not from works. He said that he puts no confidence in the flesh. There were false teachers who had been telling the Christians in Philippi that they had to do this and they had to do that. They had to follow certain customs and rituals. They had to be like the Jews had been and follow their rituals. And Paul's saying, none of that matters. He says, we are not to be like that. He says, he himself, Paul, if it was all based on these things, he would deserve commendation more than any of them because of who he was and what he had done. He said, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was from the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee and I zealously persecuted the church. I did all these things, and if it relied on them, then I would have been first in line to go to heaven. But he said, I don't rely on those things. In fact, I count them as rubbish. I count them as dirt. And it's only by faith and all by grace that I am saved. It's the gift of God. It's not about what I've done. It's not about who I am and what status I have in this world. It's all from God. But if it's all from grace, then why should we try to do good? Why should we try to be good? Why should we try to be like Jesus? This is a conundrum in the Christian faith. The external view of a Christian is often someone who's a good person. Oh, that person's a very Christian person. They do lots of good things. And yet we say, because the Bible says, that none of us are good. None of us are good enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. None of us are good enough to come up to the standard that God has. The proper view of a Christian is one who wholly trusts in the goodness of Jesus for salvation and for the price that Jesus paid on the cross. We trust in his grace for salvation. And yet, we try to be as good as possible. We try to do good works. We try to love others. We want to change. We want to be better. We even tell our children to be good. Shouldn't we be telling them that they're bad and that there's nothing they can do to change it other than to turn to Christ? And if they do turn to Christ, shouldn't we tell them that it's all sorted? That's it. They can relax now. Don't worry. Well, what does Paul do? What does Paul say? At the end of last week's reading, he said he counted all his supposed good points as nothing. They were all as dirt, as loss, because his righteousness comes from Christ, and knowing Christ is the best thing. Even sharing in Christ's sufferings was a good thing, because it brought him closer to Christ, that he might know the resurrected life in full. Now, let's look at verses 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is an important part of Scripture. It was important enough that we sang the words as one of our hymns earlier on. So we talk about pressing on, about putting our hand to the plough. Paul doesn't seem to think that it's all sorted. He's pressing on. He's straining. He wants to win the prize. Christ has made him righteous, but hasn't yet made him perfect. One day he will be made perfect as God takes him up to be with him. But Paul doesn't want to sit and wait for that day. He wants to try his best to reach towards that perfection. Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. You see, Jesus had saved him, and he wanted to give back all that he could to honour his Saviour. He wanted to show his love for Jesus by giving back to him, by trying his absolute best to do what he could to please God, and not in his own strength, because he realised that his flesh would fail him, but in the strength of God. He wanted to press on, to lift himself up, to let God lift him up, to be more like Jesus. And he encourages the Philippians to do that as well. Press on. There's a famous devotional book by the Scottish evangelist Oswald Chambers called My Utmost for His Highest. And that reflects this same attitude. As Christians, we shouldn't be sitting back, but pressing forward. Dedicating ourselves to prayer, to the Word of God, and to sharing with others. Because there are these things honour God. And the highest achievement we can make in life is to honour him who has saved us. Paul said to Timothy that godliness with contentment is great gain. And that's true. We should be content with what God has given us. But what Paul is saying here is that the Philippians shouldn't be content with what they are giving him. He says, forget about the past, keep your eyes on Christ and on the goal, the upward call of God. Do your utmost to press on, to give more to him, to be more like him. As Christians, we are called to press on, to work hard and not to sit back. Verse 15, he says, let those of you who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. We should all be like this. We should all be pressing on for God. We should be striving for him, striving to live lives that are pleasing to him. That's what Paul wants. And don't argue with him because he's right. He says, if any of you are mature, think this way. I don't know if you've ever tried arguing with someone who's convinced they're right and you know that they're not. It seems impossible to turn them around from what they're thinking, from what they believe. It can be really frustrating. No matter how much you explain, you can't change their mind. Maybe they're too set in their ways to change. Or maybe they're just sticking to their guns to annoy you. Or maybe there's just the remotest chance that you're wrong. Sometimes we need to think about that possibility. Pride can set in when we try to argue our position. So it's difficult, it's hard, and especially when we know that we're right, to try and get others to understand and to believe. And Paul doesn't actually do that. He says, I'll just let God show you. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Let God show the truth, show the right way. And anyway, what you do now, what God has already shown you, hold on to the things that God has shown you. Hold on to the good things that God has shown you to do. Hold on to the truth that he has shown you in life. Hold on to him because Christ Jesus has held on to you. Press on for him because Jesus has made you his own. So Paul's given them the what. He's told them that they should be striving to be more like Jesus in everything, to better serve the Lord and to love others. But what about the how? How do we do these things? What does it actually look like for someone to be striving on to serve God, to be more like Jesus? What does it look like? None of us have met Jesus physically. And so it can be hard to understand and hard to imagine what we should be like. And that's where Paul makes a brave move. In verse 17, he says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Paul says, copy me. Do what I'm doing. The Philippians hadn't seen Jesus. They only had descriptions of him from Paul and from others. It was hard for them to know how to be like him, but they had seen Paul. And Paul was confident enough that he was living out the gospel while he was with them to tell them to copy his example. He had been a living example of Christ to them. I wonder if you know someone who displays Christ in how they live their life. Do you know someone like that? Do you know several people like that? Someone you can take as an example? I can think of Christians I know who are really caring, or who are excellent prayers, who are sacrificial givers, who are hard-working servers. God puts these people in our lives to help us to see how we should be striving, how to be more like Christ. If you can think of someone like that that you know, who's living out the truths of Christ in their life, copy them. Do what they're doing. See where they are following Christ and follow that example. But be careful. Not every Christian is a good example. And Paul knows that there are some who are the absolute opposite. Verse 18, "For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things." Now, Paul isn't talking about people outside the church here. He's talking about people who seem to be in the body of the church, but they aren't striving. They're living for themselves. Their God is their belly. They do things to benefit themselves, to profit themselves. They're not looking to honour Christ. They're looking that people would honour them. And they'll take every opportunity to point out their own achievements. They've taken their eyes off Christ and they've put them in the world. So be discerning. See how Christians behave and follow the good examples. But stay away from those who are living their lives for themselves or living in the world. Let God challenge you to improve in an area you are weak by seeing someone who is strong in that area and following their example. Paul says, "Be like me," because he had walked among them as a true follower of Christ. None of us are going to reach perfection in this life, but we know we will in the next. As Paul goes on, he says in verse 20, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself." We wait for Jesus. We wait for him to come or for him to take us away, to complete our salvation. Our souls are saved, but we're still living in earthly bodies. We're still making mistakes. We're still sinning. So we strive. We fight to deny the flesh and to live in the Spirit until Jesus comes and changes the flesh and makes us perfect and gives us perfect bodies. Bodies that no longer cause us to sin. Bodies that are no longer troublesome and painful and broken. But more importantly, bodies that are pure and holy and perfect. I'm not a dancer. Some people say that the Christian life is like a dance. You just have to relax and let the Spirit take control and it'll all go well. But I don't think a professional dancer would say that it's like that. I've seen Strictly. The competitors in that show, they have to work really hard. They have to practice over and over and over again. I think that's part of the programme, is they show you them practicing throughout the week. They practice the moves again and again and again till they get them right. Learning what to do by copying the professional. That's what Paul wants us to be like. Press on. Work hard. Strive. And take the examples of others further down the road than us as patterns to follow. Maybe in this life I'll never be a perfect Christian, but I can be a better one. And I can strive to be better every day with the power of Christ enabling me and the example of those who are ahead of me to follow. Paul compares it to a race, but it's not a race that one person wins. It's a race where the prize is available for all Christians to press on, to look to Christ, and to reach out to that prize, the upward calling of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for salvation in Christ. We thank you that it's not by our own works that we are saved. It's not by our own works that we are made righteous. And we thank you that having made us righteous, you want us to strive for you, to look to you, to live our lives pleasing to you, that others may see and may glorify you, having seen our good works done through your power. Lord, help us to strive. Help us to press on. Help us to stand for you in life, to live for you, and to love others as Christ has loved us, because he first took us to be his own. Help us to strive that others may know him too. In Jesus' name, amen.